You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Lucero Mestel will always be remembered for his performances as Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof and Max Bialystock in The Producers. But in Jim Brosius' solo show, Zero Hour, we learned that he was also a serious painter and had strong political beliefs. Jim Brosius won the Drama Desk Award for solo performance in 2010 for this play, and now it has been returned to its original home, the theater at St. Clement's on West 46th Street, directed by Piper Laurie and presented by the Peccadillo Theater Company. It's running until July 9th, and I'm delighted that it brings Jim Brosius to our show now. Welcome.
Hi, Leonard. Nice to be with you.
What inspired you to write and perform a show about Zero Mestel? Did people tell you that you kind of look like him?
Not that I look like him, but there was some kind of a bearing I had. My high school yearbook introduces me as Jim Brosius, the Zero Mestel of LaSalle. And so from the time I was a kid, I met Zero when I was like 12 or 13 years old, because my mentor was David Burns, the great actor David Burns. Mm-hmm. So backstage at Forum, one night, I was going to meet Davy Burns, and I always loved to go on the stage. You know, there was the Broadway stage after the show, and you'd go out, and I would just stand on the stage. Well, this
imagining
night,
that someday you
course,
would be there
that it was
as
me,
a performer.
And getting, hearing the applause in my head and taking Lauren Bacall bows and pretending, oh, I just saw the audience out there. And so I went onto the stage, I turned this way, and bang, I ran right into Zero Mestel, who looked, he was still in his pseudolus costume, and it was like he had just stepped in the shower. He was drenched, and he had just come off the stage, and I had my little West Point uniform on, and he said, who are you? What are you doing? What are you, General Nuisance? And I said, oh, what are you doing here? And I said, I came to see my friend Davy Burns. He said, well, you never come to see me. Why don't you come to see me? I said, well, you'd better. And so the next week, I went to visit Zero in his dressing room, and he was screaming at one of the other actors. I mean, just reading them the riot act, David Evans, who had played one of the Proteans. And Zero was just, if you ever do that again, I'll throw you into the orchestra pit.
Well, he was known for not doing the same performance every night.
No. He was very naughty, very naughty. And then he turned to me, oh, so nice to see you. How are you doing?
Portraying such a recognizable character without resorting to caricature is always a tricky proposition. How did you find the right tone, humorous and irreverent, but also serious at times?
Well, I think having known Zero, I saw him off stage, and I saw him with his guard down. And, you know, he was a rather sensitive man. And the way I've set up this play, I present him as a painter, because he always said, I'm a painter who acts rather than an actor who paints.
And the play is set in his painting studio on West 28th
Street. He had a studio on West 28th Street, and he was there for 8 to 10 hours every single day painting. And at one point he said, I have a compulsion. I have to paint.
And that was even when he was performing every night?
Every night. He would spend the day, except on Wednesdays and Saturdays, painting in his studio. And being down on 28th Street, and he was very, very prolific, and he was what he called himself a colorist. And in fact, when I did the first run of Zero Hour, a lady was waiting for me after the show, and she said, my father shared a studio with Zero, and during the 50s, when they were all broke, if anybody had $20, they would buy each other's paintings. And she accumulated quite a lot of Zero's paintings, and she gave me one. So I actually have an original Mestel.
Along with his abstracts, he painted a lot of self-portraits, each suggesting a different Zero Mestel. Is that a clue to how he linked his two professions?
Well, I think there were many different sides to Zero Mestel. In fact, Leonard, in this painting I have, which was done in 1960, there's a lot of Roman imagery in it. There's columns and little Roman designs. And I thought it kind of foreshadowed Forum. But Forum
he hadn't
was still,
been in Forum yet.
No. He had just had the bus accident. That was another part of his life where he almost lost his leg. And how he could do 6 hours on a Wednesday and Saturday of Fiddler, a three-hour show, it was amazing. He was in pain most of the time on stage.
Did he ever recover completely?
No, he never did.
What happened? What happened during
it
that
It was action? January 13th, 1960, and he was rehearsing for a play called The Good Soup. And it was his first starring role back on Broadway after The Blacklist, and he felt he had made it back. And he was getting out of his cab at the corner of 86th Street in Central Park West, where he lived. There had been a snowstorm. The M86 lost control and pinned him between the cab and the bus. And the doctor said, "We have to amputate your left leg. It's beyond repair." And another doctor came in and said, "Let's try some things." And after 15 operations and 6 months in the hospital, they saved his leg.
And he was able to go back on stage, but he was in pain to the end?
He was in pain most of the time. I saw him one night after, I think it was Forum, and he had on a blue terry cloth bathrobe. And he had knee braces, like, you know, those ace bandages. But his left leg looked like it had been in a fire. It was totally grafted and red, and you could see he would put, you know, moist towels on it, his dresser Howard would, to keep, you know, the pain away.
He grew up in an Orthodox Jewish family in New York. Wasn't his birth name Samuel Joel?
How did he come to
be called Zero?
The legend has it that a man named Ivan Black, who was the press agent for Cafe Society, which was the big nightclub back in the 40s that gave so many performers their start, like Billie Holiday and Jack Gilford. So Zero was down there, and he was billed as Samuel Mostel. And then Ivan Black all of a sudden introduced him one night as Zero. And the legend is he said to Zero, "Don't you remember what you told me your grade school average was?" And he said, "And the other fact is you started from nothing, Zero." So that's, and it stuck.
My guest is Jim Brochu, who has written and stars in Zero Hour, which is returned to its original home,
the theater
at St. Clement's on West 46th Street. Directed by Piper Laurie. Has she always been the director?
Yes. Rosie is her name. We call her Rosie. She told me she never liked the name Piper Laurie because Universal had given it to her. So to her friend, she's Rosie Morgenstern. So Rosie would come to all the readings, and she was awfully good with the text. And then she was great with the scenes. You know, she's not a director in the typical sense of the word, you know, directing the play from out front and going through technical rehearsals and things like that. But in terms of the text and scene study, she was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And fun. I love to hear her laugh.
How did Zero's parents feel about his choice of professions? Didn't they disown him?
When he married, they disowned him because of the marriage. He married an Irish Catholic girl named Kate Harkin. And as I say in the play, where I read in some piece of material, when Zero married Kate, they refused to meet him. They declared him dead, covered the mirrors, sat Shiva for a week, and threatened to commit suicide. And other than that, they took it very well.
How did he first get into acting? I know some people who knew him at the time who said that anytime there was a party before he became a professional, he would do some kind of a routine.
Right.
Sometimes very physical.
He was a very impromptu kind of improvisational man who was always doing characters. He kind of expressed himself through characters. And he started to when he studied painting at CCNY, and then he gave lectures about art at the union halls, which were filled with jokes. Mm. And the jokes led him to benefits. The benefits led him to nightclubs. And then to Cafe Society.
But then doing a Broadway show is a big leap.
Well, when he
you got to learn lines.
Yeah,
and
yeah. No, that's true. But
you got to really act.
You know, the man who told him he should be an actor, and this is ironic, was Jerome Robbins. They were doing a review together, and Robbins said, "You know, I think you'd be a very good actor, and you should study." And so Zero started studying with a man named Don Richardson, where Kate, his wife, had been studying. And he was getting, as he said, he got great parts in lousy shows. But he was being accepted as an actor at that point.
And we'll talk about what happened with Jerome Robbins in just a moment. Zero was blacklisted during the McCarthy era and subpoenaed to appear before the House Un-American Activities Committee. You recreate his testimony as part of the show. How did you find that testimony? Is it in the public record?
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, it's all out on the internet. Just look up Zero Mostel. Everybody's testimony is pretty much there, whoever testified in front of the committee. You can find the record. And Zero went on for about 4 hours. I only do about 10 minutes of it.
Unlike Jerome Robbins, he didn't name names.
He did not.
And that was a problem later because in your play, you have him talking about having to work with Jerome Robbins years later. What were the circumstances? How did Zero handle it?
Well, they were doing a funny thing happened on the way to the forum. And it was really his first big show since being blacklisted. And he was starring. It was above the title. And Jack Gilford, his best friend, was in the show. Now, Jack's wife, Madeline, had been named to the committee by Jerome Robbins. So there was a great deal of tension. Hal Prince came in, and the show was in deep trouble, very deep trouble. And so Hal Prince came into Zero's dressing room after a Wednesday matinee in Washington and said, We can fix the show, and we're going to bring in Jerry Robbins. And he said to Zero, how do you feel about that? And Zero said, do I have to shake his hand? Hal said, no. He said, do I have to eat with him? He said, no. Will you work with him? And Zero said, we of the left do not blacklist. And Jack Gilford quit the show that day when he heard Robbins was coming in. And it was Madeline, his wife, said, now you're blacklisting yourself. So don't quit. And so they got through it. It was very tense. He called him loose lips all through the rehearsal for naming the names. So you can imagine. But as he said, Robbins fixed the show, and it was a smash. And they found that they could work together because they put creation above their differences.
And Zero won a Tony for A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, also for Rhinoceros and Fiddler on the Roof. He also starred in the film The Producers. Why wasn't he chose to star in the film version of Fiddler?
Well, there's a lot of reasons, Leonard.
But it isn't like they used somebody who was incredibly famous.
No. But they thought Zero was incredibly New York, that they didn't think in a film he would be looked at as, an Eastern European Jew. So they brought in Topol, who I thought his performance was very lethargic. And as Zero once said, they asked him, what did you think of the movie A Fiddler? And he said, it was the greatest Western ever made.
Your play is set in 1977, shortly before Zero's death then.
Right.
At 62, so young.
He was young,
wasn't
he?
What were the circumstances of his death?
He was doing a play called The Merchant, which was based on The Merchant of Venice by Shakespeare. It was an update of it. And so he thought he should be thinner, so he went on a protein diet and supplemented that with coffee and cigarettes. And so for about a month, doing rehearsals, that diet, the coffee, the cigarettes, he did one performance of The Merchant in Philadelphia at the Forest Theater, and then he took ill. So he was in the hospital the next day. About 8 days later, he was getting better, he was coming back, and he had an aneurysm. Sam Levine was sitting there with him, and he had an aneurysm and he died.
When the play opens, a reporter has just arrived to interview him, and he insists that the reporter model for him in return. You wind up creating a painting.
I do. I paint every night. I paint a complete new picture every night.
Had you an art background?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm a painter as well as... that was my hobby growing up, was drawing and painting. So it's fun for me to actually do a brand new painting. And we used to sell them off for charity, for the Actors Fund. So maybe we'll get to do that again.
In the play, he comes across as very funny, but also rather irascible. Was he really as angry and difficult as you portray him to be?
Yes, he was a very angry man.
Now, you have toured the show around the country on and off.
Yes.
For around 10 years or so?
Well, we started doing, my goodness, now that you say, we opened in Los Angeles in 2006.
Okay, so 11 years.
But I didn't do it for about 4 years. The last performance I did was in 2013 in Florida. And then I kind of hung my Zero shoes up, did other things, and then they asked me to do it again, and I thought, well, why not? I'll see if I'm up to the challenge.
Right now, it's on stage until July 9th at the theater at St. Clements at 423 West 46th Street. Will you be taking it anywhere else after?
I don't know. I would love to. It's been fun for me to be Zero again. It's fun to be Zero because he was larger than life and crazy and angry and funny. And it's fun because I'm not quite that out there as Zero is. And I tell you, Leonard, few people were. But I tell you, one of the great nostalgic things for me is to be back at the Theater of St. Clements, where I made my off-Broadway debut in 1968. So next year, I'll be doing this for 50 years and back at the theater I started at.
Well, come back here soon.
I would love that.
Jim Brochu wrote and stars in Zero Hour at the Theater at St. Clements, and it has been my great pleasure to have him on our show today.
My pleasure, Leonard. Thank you for having me.